Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. Okay, one person. Thank you. I'm so happy to see you guys. Quiet. And I want to tell you a story. I have a friend who we call him a lingerer. That was kind of the joke that we had with him. He is always one to kind of go at his own speed and just. He takes his time to go places, kind of is often late, but one that he always wants to hang out a little bit longer and talk a little bit more and find a time to connect. And it's something that we kind of always tease him about, that it was an endearing quality of someone who just gives time for relationships, but then also something that when we were ready to go, sometimes it was like, Why can't you just move a little bit faster? And can we just get there? And he would go to we're on the way out the door, and he would go and like grab a soda and like sit down on the couch. And we're like, come on, let's just go. What it reminds me of, in especially those moments where the times that his behavior is endearing, the times that I enjoy that aspect of him. I look at him and I just think, that's my friend, and that's what he's like, and I can just appreciate that aspect about him, and I can laugh about it, and it's something that I'm glad I have a friend like that. The other times when I'm tired and I just want to go, or I just want to get something done, and we're going somewhere together. It's just frustrating, and I'm irritated with him, and I just think, I wish I could just go do this by myself, and I'm frustrated, and I don't think great things at that moment towards him. There's ways that emotionally where we are, it can shape so much of how we see other people. There's almost a sense where we can look at people two-dimensionally of, I like you, there's harmony here, and so my view towards you is very positive, and I see you fully, and I see all of that and enjoy all those aspects of that. There's other times where emotionally, when there's conflict, when there's some kind of disharmony between us, I look and I say, there's nothing about this person that I like. And sometimes when we end up with conflict, we can think, I'm the person that's right. My hands are clean in this situation, and this person is just an awful person. That describes them. And sometimes this perspective, we are unable to see each other with kind of a three-dimensional picture, that we're a mixture of qualities. Or a mixture of qualities that we both like and dislike in each other. There are ways that we can end up relating to God this way, of, God, I see you as someone either I love and you're amazing, and the good times when you feel close, when I feel blessed by you, I am just in awe of you. I treasure your grace and you're good, and you know me and you see my heart, and we're close. And what a blessing it is to have the gospel. And then there's other times when I feel far from him, when I experience loss that I don't understand, when there's sadness and anger towards him, and I just think, what is the point of following God? Is my life really better off with him? Why would he allow these things to happen? What's the purpose of this? And these difficult questions, they shape so much how we can view God, and in our emotions, we can swing from one to the other very dramatically. When we're in this place where it's a difficult time, and when we have a very negative view towards God, it's very difficult to worship him. It's very difficult to look at him and say, God, I feel like you're worthy of worship. And if I was to say something, if I was to pray to you, if I was to sing to you, it would just feel insincere. My mouth is moving, but my heart's not there. So how, as we're in this series about worship, how can we worship God in a place like that? When we're in those seasons, how can I still worship him with sincerity when I don't see him as a good and faithful God? When we have questions about emotions and questions about worship, a great place that we can turn to is the book of Psalms. These are places that they are psalms of worship, also very emotional songs. So we're going to be looking in the book of Psalms, and we'll be looking at Psalm 77. This, we see the wrestling between disappointment with God and then also worship. So as we start in Psalm 77, we start off with this lament about our perception of God. So we'll jump in at verse 7. He says, "Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his compassion?" In this psalm, we see these laments and these protests about God. It's doubting about, has God changed his nature? Is there something different about him? Is he now withholding his compassion? Does he now no longer honor his promises? Is God no longer one who is gracious and near? Has he rejected me? This is written by Asaph. Asaph was, he lived during the time of King David, and he was a Levite and was appointed to be the lead musician. So you can think of him as the worship leader for the nation. And this is one of his greatest hits. You know, it's not one that's really played on the radio. You don't turn on K-Love and hear this. And, you know, but he writes this, and these are words where he, in six times throughout the chapter, he questions God's love. And he says, "God, I wonder if you've abandoned me." He says, "God, I don't know if you're still the same God." You know, the issue is never revealed in this psalm, but we see his emotion and we see what he's experiencing and how he's perceiving God to be. The dark times that we go through our faith, we can often find ourselves in the shoes of Asaph. We can often find ourselves asking questions like, "God, why did you allow this to happen? Where were you? God, have you left me?" And we can look and we can ask these questions. We can have these emotions of, "God, I don't know if I desire you any longer because of my circumstances and what I'm going through. You should be doing something differently. You should be caring for me, and you're not. And I feel angry and I feel sad towards you." And these are feelings that maybe as Christians are uncomfortable for us to have. And we can wonder, am I actually allowed to feel that way towards God? Is that appropriate? Am I being irreverent? Is this okay to act that way, to see or talk to God like that? And so we see this, and we see Asaph's experience, though, and we say, "I feel like that, too. I feel like God has forgotten me or overlooked me. I'm reminded of some years ago doing a sermon series on God's faithfulness. And I noticed during this series there was a man who, every time the sermon would start, he would stand up and he would leave. And so he was always there for the first part of the service during worship, but then he would exit. I had some conversations with him, and he shared about how his family suffered a tragedy of the loss of a young relative. And it was someone who was dear to him, and he said, I don't want to hear a sermon about God's faithfulness. How can I say God is faithful when then I look and see that this happened? Like, why didn't God protect him? Why was this necessary? You know, how can I say God is good and faithful when something like this happens? And these are very difficult questions for us to ask, and we don't have answers for them. And inevitably, we all come to a place like this in life where we think, why would God allow this to happen? You know, our perception of God, the experience that we have of God is a real experience, but it's not always an accurate experience. It's not always an accurate picture of who he is. And part of the amazing part of God's goodness and his compassion is we are allowed to speak with him honestly. That we're allowed to pour out our hearts honestly with the full range of our emotions. That I can speak to God with my fear. I can speak to him about my doubts about him. I can shout at him. I can pour out my anger to him. And yet he's patient enough, he's compassionate enough to be there for that. He has the patience to allow me to question, is he faithful? You know, it's important for us to relate to God with our emotions. We see this throughout Psalms, that this happens where David or Asaph or other writers, they pour out their hearts and they say things that are not actually true about God. If we don't do that, if we say, I'm not allowed to say that, I'm not allowed to feel angry or sad towards God, I'm not allowed to question him, there's a part of ourselves that we close off from relating to him. And we say, I can really only relate to God with facts about him in my head, and the rest of this, though, a Christian shouldn't feel that way. And so I need to close this off. And that leaves us with a shallowness in our faith. That I'm not really fully relating with God, and I don't actually know how to relate to him in that way. But still, we recognize that though I have this experience of God, and though this is the way I'm viewing him, I'm also recognizing this is my experience, and it's not the full picture of who he is. That it doesn't mean that this is what he is like. And so we pray with vulnerability, we describe our experience, and in God's patience and compassion, he allows us to do this. Emotions are an important part of our relationship with God, but they're also not the main driving part of our relationship with him. If they were, our relationship with him would be drastically like a pendulum swinging from one side to the other. But we relate to him with stability. We need something that grounds us. We need something that we can hold on to and say, I can have confidence of who God is regardless of my circumstances. And so as the psalm progresses, we see where Asaph turns to is then he says, I need to remember who God is. I need to remember what is true about him. Even though this is what I'm experiencing, and even though this is what I'm pouring out to him, I need reminders of what's true about God. So he continues in verse 11. He says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. He says, Asaph says, I'm going to look back to the past and see what has been witnessed of God. What are the ways that I've seen him work, and what are the things that he's done? How have I seen his might? What do his actions show about who he is? And he says, I'm going to ponder on these things, and I'm going to meditate. I'm not going to treat these things lightly, but I'm going to reflect on them, and I'm going to hold them dear. We said that Asaph lived during the time of David. There is about 1,000 years between Abraham, when the covenant was made with between God and him, and then 1,000 years later is David. And so Asaph has 1,000 years of history that he can look back and say, how have we as a people experienced God over these years? What things has he done? What ways has he shown his might? And I can say, what does God do? Throughout Israel's history, God understands the importance of memories and the importance of remembering his actions. And so he encourages them to set up monuments and have festivals to remember things that have happened. They celebrate the Passover yearly as a reminder of God's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. Weekly, there's the Sabbath as a day of rest, reminding them of God's dominion and power over creation. There were things in the landscape as they crossed the Jordan and to enter and claim the promised land. They carried stones with them, and they set stones up as a reminder of God's provision of what he was giving them. And so for Asaph, he can look at his calendar and he can say, the days that and the part of my routine is I have reminders built in of what God is like and ways that I can remember who he is and what he's done in the past. He can look at the landscape, and there's physical things that he can look to. There's monuments of reminders of this is what God has done for me, and this is what I can hold to. These are ways that we've experienced him. There's an importance for us to spend time reflecting and remembering ways that we've experienced God. There's a part of us as we think of worship, and sometimes we think of worship with our heart, of the emotion and the experience of God. There's the importance of worshiping God with our minds, of meditating and reflecting and remembering what God has done for us. That you undoubtedly have stories of ways that you have experienced God's faithfulness. I imagine if you can look back through your life, there are times that you've seen God provide for you, that you've seen God show his character and his compassion. You know, part of the blessing of worshiping as a community is we have other stories from each other that we can hear, and reminders of ways that other people have experienced God's provision. We have 2,000 years of church history that we can look back on. Say, what are ways that other people have at different times experienced God's blessing? There's so much that we can look to as reminders of ways that God shows who he is. But these are things that give us hope, and these are things that anchor us as a reminder of, this is what I know about God, and even though I have this experience of him, even though I have this picture that seems to tell me otherwise, I have all of these other memories and stories that tell me this is actually what God is like. You know, there's the famous illustration of blindfolded people feeling different parts of an elephant and describing what they're feeling. And there's the picture of the man who he's blindfolded and he's feeling the leg of an elephant. And he says, oh, what's an elephant feel like? It's round, it's strong and firm. It's like the trunk of a tree. And then someone else is feeling the side of the elephant. And they're saying, no. An elephant is large and flat. And someone else is feeling the trunk or an ear. And each person is giving a different picture and a different description of, this is what an elephant is like. And sure, that's what they're feeling, but they're not seeing the full picture of what actually an elephant is. And as we go through life and we have experiences and we say, I see God right now as unfaithful, I see him as distant, we can have experiences, but we also say, my perception is limited. And I can't see all that's happening. And so I look back to my memories, I look back to how ways I've experienced God, and that's what I look to for descriptions of him. I've shared some before about a meaningful time for me in experiencing this was for us the process as a family having children. The first couple of years it was just very difficult to get pregnant. We had Sammy, and then after Sammy we had a couple of miscarriages, and those were seasons that I felt so angry with God. It's like, God, I'm not asking for a yacht here. Like, I want to be a dad. And like, why allow this? Why does it seem so easy for some people to get pregnant and it was so difficult for us? God, it's not fair. And even a miscarriage, you think, what was the point of that? Just don't let us get pregnant. That would be better than having what feels like a meaningless loss. There was nothing to be gained here except for pain. And in those moments, it was just, God, I don't know that I can sing to you, and I don't know that I can say, songs like, you're a good, good father. I can't say those words to you right now, God. And this is often a time that there was characterized by pain and anger towards God. There's also ways that I would say God brought people around us that gave us so much compassion and grace that as much as that time I look back and is characterized by my anger, there's also times where I say, God, you really provided people around us. There really were people that cared for us and loved us through those times. A friend who had a cabin that said, just go, get away for the week and just weep. People who brought us meals, people who watched our oldest son while we went to doctor's appointments, people who just showed so much compassion and the beauty of also people being willing to share that they went through this too, because it's something you feel like, I'm the only one who's experienced this, or has anyone else ever gone through this? And the beauty of having someone else say, I'm coming alongside you, I know what that pain is like. And there was ways in that I look back and I say, God was faithful. God was good. It didn't feel good at the time. He didn't feel faithful at the time, but he was. Regardless of what we go through in life, regardless of what experiences we've had and where we've felt God through those times. If nothing else, the ultimate hope that we have, the ultimate thing that we look to and say that God is faithful and God is good is the cross. If I experience nothing good from him and nothing that I can look back and say, God blessed me here, he walked with me through dark times, I can still look back and say, I was dead in my sin. I was helpless and unable to do anything about it. And God chose to come and be here, to be humiliated by his creation, to be tortured and executed, to die for me, and to offer forgiveness and eternal life. If nothing else, I can look at that and I can say, God sees my circumstances. And in Romans 8, verse 32, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. We look at this and we can say, maybe I don't experience the fullness of this now, but God, through his grace, he has great things for us. And there is a day after this life where I will experience the fullness of him and the fullness of his blessing. The blessing of God has justified me when I didn't deserve it. We look back and we remember the past. These are anchors for us in our worship of him. These are things that give us confidence about him. As we reflect on him, we remind ourselves of what's true about him, and we can praise him even though we don't experience it at the moment. We have hope. We anticipate that we will see and be able to know that God is faultless. He continues in the psalm. He says in verse 13, your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your mighty among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. He says these things, and he says these just a few verses after the things he just questioned and expressed to God. Of God, you have withheld your compassion, you have withheld your grace, you don't keep your promises. And just a few verses later, after saying, this is my experience of you, he says, I remember what is true about you, and I can still go and say, God, you are a good God. You are mighty. You're a redeeming God. You are holy. I don't think when Asaph writes this, I don't think he's experiencing God's holiness, his redemption. He's experienced that God is not near him. But he says, though this is what I'm feeling, I'm going to continue out of faith, saying, in time I will be able to understand that God is good, that God is faithful and holy and redeeming. We are invited to speak with God with honesty, but we also turn back to the ways we've experienced him, and then from that we proceed and say, God, I feel the tension of this is what I'm experiencing right now. This is what is true about you. And I'm just anticipating being able to understand that this is still you. That you are still good, that you're still faithful. And so I praise you and I worship you, though I don't see this at the moment, but I praise you out of faith, saying that this, I'm counting on this still being you. And so my faith in these moments is, my worship in these moments is an act of faith. God, I hold on to this being true. This makes it important for us to know things about God, to know his attributes, to know his character. We need to know Scripture. We need to be looking at Scripture and asking questions, what does this tell me about God's nature? What does this tell me about who he is? There's the value of considering other things, of deeper reflections, of knowing, of studying theology, of reading books, but no Scripture. And we can hold on to these things. You know, one of my favorite verses has been a comfort for me throughout much of my life. I just remember as a child, you know, always feeling a lot of fear and worry about things. You know, many times not rational worry and fear, and just, you know, the world seems so big and sometimes so scary, and am I okay? Am I going to be safe? Is someone looking out for me? Am I by myself? And someone said, learn this verse, Joshua 1:9. This verse says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is a verse that is dear to my heart. A verse that reminds me of, though I experience different things, though there's fear and there are things that I'm worried about, in God's will, I can have courage and the faith that he is there with me. That he's not a God that's going to leave me. That he's not going to be a God that is far away, but he's going to be near. And because of that, I can have courage. I encourage you to find a verse that you can hold on to. I encourage you to find something that says this speaks to a dear and very sensitive part of my heart that I need reminders about. And so I'm going to memorize it and I'm going to come back to this and say this helps me, it corrects me of my vision of how I'm seeing God. It helps steady my heart. You know, the day will come in the next life where our heart and our head will align with each other. And right now, so many times they can be in different places. I experienced God here, but I know this is true. But there's something Joni Erickson Tada writes that, and if you don't know her, she at a young age, she broke her back and was paralyzed from the neck down. And so through her adult life, she's written a number of books and done a lot of speaking about suffering and faith and wrestling with this. But she speaks about this idea of what we're experiencing, but also what's true. She says, yet even the present isn't true reality. There will one day be an existence for us that will be the ultimate in reality and experience. And we can understand this truth only by faith. What we see by faith is true reality. And so she says that what I know about God and what by faith I understand about him, of God being good, about God being faithful, that's the true reality. And I'm not experiencing it right now, but the day will come that I do experience that true reality. But what I'm experiencing over here, where I'm questioning and doubting, that's not actually accurate. That's not actually what's going on, but we can anticipate the day where we experience the fullness of who he is. And so we worship God. We worship God by faith. We worship God because he is good all the time, even if we can't feel him as good all the time. You know, I think about you, and undoubtedly there are some of you here that are in this place today. And I'm thankful that you're here. And I'm thankful that you came and you're here, and regardless of whether you sing the next song or not, I'm just glad that you came to be here. And you are invited to pour out your heart to God. And for the rest of us, when that season comes for you, I invite you to pour out your heart like Asaph did. But then we also come back and we say, God, I need something to anchor me. What are memories that I have of what's true about you, where I've experienced you, and let me hold on to that. Let me hold on to these things, then anchor my faith in you, because this is what I need. So as a community, I hope that we can have the compassion for each other to allow each other to pray honestly, to pray for each other with honesty. But also, at the appropriate time, with empathy, we remind each other, this is what's true about God. This is the way that you've experienced him before. This is the way I've experienced. Don't give up the hope. Don't give up the faith that he's something different. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you see us in our suffering. And we thank you that you are a God that's patient with us when we protest. Lord, but I thank you that what we're experiencing is not really who you are. We thank you for your love and your provision. Thank you that you're near us. Lord, we need you close to us. Lord, I pray for those especially that this describes them today. Lord, I ask that you pour out your love on them especially. In Jesus' name, amen.